Well, all you have to do is, you have some pepper. So the way that you have to get it out is to keep your eye open and sneeze. The only way out of this room is to eat Pop Rocks and drink Pepsi. And it was just like urban legend saw.
You have to leave your hook hand on the door of this car.
This is the special chair that you have to sit in, and you have braces, and you have to kiss this girl with braces if you want to get out of the chair that I've tied you to. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for another episode of Video Games Hot Dog, this time brought to you by, I don't know, some like bullshit phone from 1980. Or something.
What?
We're calling Kevin on Riff's iPhone 4.
Jesus.
4?
That must be why it was a different ringtone. I was Riff called, which I don't think Riff has ever called me, maybe. And I was like, what the fuck? And it was like this weird, like, different ringtone. I was like, have I set up a personalized ringtone for Riff? Why would I have done that? He never calls. And so I looked at his page on the contact list, and I looked at the ringtone, and it said piano riff.
good. Yeah. I think piano riff is what I use as my alarm when I want to wake me up. It's like a bluesy kind of thing that makes you wish that you didn't drink as much or had slept more.
Okay.
And just sort of hate yourself for the fact that you have to go to the airport now at 4 in the morning.
I still have my clock alarm set to my old ringtone, which sounds like dubstep sirens, so I kind of need to change that one.
Huh. Mm. You should switch it to motherfucking pie.
Yeah, that is what my regular ringtone is now.
Because that'll get you up. I mean, but then you'll be expecting a pie for breakfast.
That's true.
Like some kind of egg pie or a Pop-Tarts pie. I guess Pop-Tarts are kind of like a pie.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like a very
like a really
thin
flat
pie.
Yeah,
like a thin flat rectangular pie. Yeah. They're certainly not the platonic opposite of a pie.
True.
Oh, dear. So that would be...
Is that like an elevator door opening and a wave of pie filling pouring out?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So in your mind, the opposite, because a pie keeps the filling in, the opposite of a pie would release, would just be in a perpetual state of releasing the filling.
A torrent of pie filling.
But what, I mean, a pie contains filling, so the opposite of a pie would contain the opposite of filling. So what's the opposite of, like, cherries
so it'd
in
be
a
like
sugary
the,
syrup?
The exterior of something would be like the skin.
Well, or is it more like
skin
Wonka?
Or like
is
shingles it or
Wonka the Sane, where the entire universe is filled with pie filling except for the inside of a pie crust, which is empty.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So an empty pie that is also an elevator.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Good.
I'm glad we sorted that out.
Yeah. We've been. What have we been doing? What have you been doing, Riff? Don't talk about video games yet.
Oh dear. I talked about Legos last week. Oh, I bought a bunch of interesting mystery books.
What kind of it? Like the Nancy Drew and the Mystery of the Funky Clock?
Even better than that. They're old dossier style mystery books.
Like MS dossier?
Sort of.
Like you have to edit config.sys to be able to read them and find out who done it.com.
It's like
a website, like an executable file.
It's a mystery story that you get as basically a folder of documents. So it has like photographs of the characters and, you know, the letters that they write to each other and I don't know, telegram forms.
Are they bound in a book or is it just loose?
I've got a couple different kinds. Some of them by the one author are bound in a sort of a book. The ones by the other author, which are all based on Sherlock Holmes stories, are just sort of tied together with a ribbon in a folder.
Wow, were they like ten times as expensive as normal books?
Like the Griffin and
they
Sabine
weren't bad.
Stuff or whatever?
They're all kind of old, so the sort of used quality of them took the price down a little bit, but it also makes them
probably makes them cooler. Like
yeah,
it makes
because
the
pages are all
the
really
thing.
Nice and brown and
oniony.
Yeah,
They're made from, like, they're Depression era mysteries. So people couldn't afford paper, so they just used literal onion skins.
Well, some of them are from the 30s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yep. But yeah, they're pretty cool.
Are any of them stock certificates? You could be a bazillionaire.
I have not found a stock certificate in one of them yet. The Sherlock Holmes one for, was it Sign of the Four? I can't remember which story it was, but it came with, like, one of the things is there's like a little wax paper envelope with a fake gold wedding ring in it.
Huh.
Yeah.
How do you know it's fake?
Well, I have to assume it's
fake. Did you bite it and it didn't dent?
No, I haven't opened it yet.
Am I imagining this, or did someone write short stories about Sherlock Holmes in the Cthulhu mythos?
There is... I have a book of... it's like a collection of various authors who have done those sorts of stories. Neil Gaiman did one that was really good. I don't know of any single author that has done multiples of those stories.
Hmm. But it has occurred to multiple authors to do a single one of them?
Yeah.
I mean, the styles go together pretty well, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. Study in Emerald was the Gaiman one.
Hmm.
What about you, Zach? What have you been up to?
Shit, I don't remember. You asked me that, Kevin, as though you remembered something. You were like setting me up to talk about something, but I don't remember anything. I've been going around looking at venues for an event that we're thinking about putting on.
That's right up the alley of this this pod.
Yeah, is that what you were trying to get me to mention?
No,
because I
don't know.
I don't remember shit about Dick. I've been working, and we... How long ago was the convention?
Last week.
Last week,
so that was like 10 days ago?
Roughly, yeah.
Okay.
Ish.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we've been... me and Wes the Animator, we went to California Extreme, and on the way back from California Extreme, we thought, man, I wish there was one of these in Phoenix, and then we thought, wait a minute, we're men of means. We're men of integrity. We're men who aren't afraid to get our hands dirty by plunging them into a sewer to find an outlet to plug a video game into.
But then you'll get the controls all filthy.
Well, no, just the plug part.
Okay.
Yeah. It smells sort of bad, but like that's part of the 80s arcade experience, right? The authentic 80s arcade experience includes the live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game, which took place in a sewer.
The real experience, you'll need to hire a couple really creepy old guys to hang around in there.
Yeah. Old guys are like maybe guys that are just in their 40s who happen to have totally gray hair in ponytails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seem old because you were 12.
The other day, this was probably 2 years ago, I went roller skating with Kevin and his girlfriend. Everything is either... I think this is what it's like to get old. Everything is either the other day or when I was little, right? Like all the stuff that happened in my early 20s was the other day. All the stuff that happened in my late teens was when I was little, and just anything before or after that is irrespectively what I said. We went roller skating on like Kevin had gotten this Groupon for roller skating, and we went there, and I was thinking like, oh, you know, so it's going to be like internet people. Thrifty internet people skating, right? Not like, no, we just went to the roller skating rink and it was just filled with little kids.
Hmm.
It's like us and 1,009 and 10 and 11 year old girls. And I was just like, man, I'm not okay with this. I am not going to be comfortable being here until I have seen one person creepier than me. And then creepy guy showed up.
Oh, okay.
And it was great. And then we skated.
Yeah, I was going to say you don't want to be the guy who falls on your ass in the midst of a crowd of giggling preteens. That sounds really embarrassing.
I don't even care about the embarrassment. So I don't want to fall on my ass and then get my hair skated over.
that would also
by
be
people.
Bad.
Yeah. So we were looking around at venues for a I don't know what we don't even have a name for it.
No.
Yeah. Wes had suggested the Arizona Arcade and Pinball Con, which we would call AARP. I think we might have a problem registering that LLC, though.
That's good.
Yeah, I want to call it Zap, which is the Arizona Arcade and Pinball, and the Z stands for AZ. I think you gotta kind of wrap your head around that. But I mean, you know, these are arcade fans. Anyway, we're thinking about Wes has managed to get like tentative commitment from people, local arcade and pinball game collectors, for like in like maybe a week of intense but, you know, not backbreaking effort, like 150 machines worth of people saying like, yeah, we'll bring that. That'd be awesome. And so we're like, okay, well, seems like there's some interest on that side. Let's see if it's feasible to get a venue for this kind of thing. And we've started looking around, and it's like totally within our means to get any number of venues. And now he's starting to look at like advertising on the radio.
Huh.
I don't know if advertising on the radio makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't either, honestly.
I mean, I think that the internet is the way to go because it's both free and it's targeted to, you know, 35-year-old nerds.
Yep. Yeah. Like,
it is almost exclusively for 35-year-old nerds.
Craigslist ads could actually get quite a bit of interest because there's a bunch of people who like retro things that spend time on Craigslist.
Oh, we could become plumbers and try to get listed on Angie's List.
Mm-hmm.
And then in our profiles say, hey, you know what? If you like having your pipes fixed, maybe you would also like to play this Mario Brothers game. It's about plumbers. So today we went to the state fairgrounds. I'm torn, Kevin. I'm torn because it makes a lot of sense to do this thing at one of the buildings that we looked at today at the state fairgrounds. But I don't want to do it because I don't want to put on an event in a place that is usually filled with, like, goats and shit.
Literally.
Literally goats and literal shit, yeah.
I mean, even though that stuff gets cleaned up and everything?
Oh, you can never really clean up goats.
I mean, you can put a tie on one, but it's still a goat.
The advantage that I was thinking about the state,
you can lead it to the debutante ball. But
if you wanted to have that like holding area that was not as expensive, they have a bunch of other buildings that are.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you wanted to have the holding area, so what we're
you could get some of those little arcade cabinets and have like the petting zoo area.
Where we let goats play video games.
Yeah,
they could play Peter Packrat, and then they would just try to eat all of the things that Peter Packrat was collecting. Did you ever try to play Peter Packrat?
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It was a sophisticated game for the time, but I played some of it at California Extreme, and man, does it miss the mark. Anyway, because we are just starting out, like, we've talked to people who've done stuff like this in the past, and man, there's a lot of dudes with a lot of opinions in that kind of environment. But so essentially, in order to get a foothold on this kind of thing, you have to really sort of try to like schmooze people into letting you use their shit, right? Mm-hmm. Because like the attraction here is not a thing that we're capable of providing. We can provide the space and the organization, but other people who own pinball machines and own arcade cabinets have to be willing to bring their pinball and arcade cabinets.
Yeah.
And so like it is more or less accepted as a given that if you're going to do this and you're not already established, you basically have to like arrange transportation for all of the things. So we basically like, we got some dudes who will help us. There's plenty of volunteer effort available. One thing I've learned from the Penny Arcade guys, A, don't pay your bands to play because you're assholes. And B, you can get all kinds of people to volunteer if you just let them in for free. And if they believe in what you're doing, C, don't give your musicians any money. D, bands play for free. Those are the four things I've learned from Penny Arcade. We were basically like, the basic plan is like, we say, hey, can we use your video games for this thing? We'll come and get them because fuck, our time's not worth anything. So it's a matter of like finding a place to put all of these games so that we don't have to like rent a convention center for two extra days for however many thousands of dollars that is to be able to load them in sort of at our leisure. The advantage of the fairgrounds place is that those buildings are so cheap that renting them for another couple of days on either side of it, it still ends up cheaper than a hotel. The disadvantage is that there is no bar. Disadvantage is that there is no carpet.
Huh.
And also ancillary and dependent disadvantage that the lack of carpet does not match the lack of drapes.
Mm. Wait a minute.
But yeah, I don't
Isn't
know.
The
man.
Lack of
so
carpet.
Everything in my head imagines this thing in this nice hotel that's like a couple miles from my house. And everything in the reasonable part of my brain says, just do it at the fucking fairgrounds. Everybody else wants to do it at the fairgrounds. It's cheaper. Wes likes the fairgrounds. it's central, so it's easier to get everywhere from there and vice versa. To move the...
Doing it out in Mesa means that anybody who's got machines out in way the hell out West Phoenix is going to take 3 hours to... go pick up and drop off and stuff.
Doing it at the fairgrounds means that people have to pay to park. When I expressed, the guy that we talked to at the fairgrounds was really on the ball and really cool, and he told us, he was like, yeah, some guys tried to do this a couple years ago and nobody showed up because it was a stupid idea, you stupid dummies. Are you sure you still even want to waste my time with this bullshit, idiots? He didn't really say that. What the thing was a couple years ago was, and you know, we talked about this, like the fact that neither of us heard about this thing, even though it was here in this town that we live in, means that they fucked something up getting the word out. And also it was an auction.
Ooh. Oh, weird.
Yeah, which I don't even know what that's all about. Anyway, the guy was on the ball. There's a lot of electricities there. They just fall right down from the sky. Like, the heavens just bring you the gigawatts, and you can plug your...
They just have cords with bowls on them, and lightning just shoots into them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and then you just sort of lay... You get a spoon, and you connect the spoon to your arcade game and lay the bowl of it in... The bowl of the spoon in the bowl of the bowl. That's how electricity works.
Yeah, that's also how spoons work.
I went to physics.
Physics, Tennessee.
So that's, oh man. That's great. I'm going to Tennessee this month, next month.
Mm. What are you going to see in Tennessee?
I'm going to go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where I hope there is still an arcade. I don't know. Man, when I was a kid, Gatlinburg, Tennessee was tits. Is it sexist to describe something as tits?
I think not if you do it in that sort of falsetto
voice.
That
voice,
like that.
Yeah.
Is that also where Gatlin guns are from?
Yeah, that's just like, it's not racist to say that you hate Japanese if you say it in a Woody Woodpecker voice. Look, the television has taught me a variety of things, and that's one of those things. Yeah, Gatlinburg, Tennessee used to be this big... weird touristy kind of place where they had a lot of arcades and a lot of like IndyCar tracks and mini golf and stuff. And I hope that that's still what it's like because I'm totally dragging some people there.
Wow.
Dragon. I hope there's a dragon. I'm also going to go to Ruby Falls, which is this thing that you'd think I'm about to describe a location in like maybe your World of Warcraft massively video game world.
Right.
But I'm actually describing a location right here on our Earth.
What?
In a book.
What?
No, not a book.
What?
It's not even a book. Okay. It's the real world.
What?
You know, going places in the real world is exactly like traveling.
Huh.
Okay. I could see that. Sure.
You can go on an adventure just by going somewhere and having an actual adventure.
Yeah.
No, Ruby Falls, man. Ruby Falls is the shit. You take... So they were digging a hole for something. They were digging a tunnel. They were like, it was like going to lead from one place to another or something. I don't know this story. And this guy in like the, I don't know, early 1900s, I think, was like just digging a hole, and suddenly like, whoa, there's an opening here. So it's like in Minecraft when suddenly you go in and then just like in Minecraft, it's like, oh, this opens into a weird thing full of spiders and also giant fucking underground waterfall.
Nice.
And
that's
like
pretty cool.
A whole hollowed out mountain with hundreds of thousands of years of stalagmites and stalagmites and the tektites. Some of the spiders were tektites.
Tektites!
Yeah. So then he was like, well, fuck it. I'm not drilling this hole anymore. Like, well, I was trying to drill a hole so I could sell people tickets to see the world's biggest hole. But now I'm going to sell people tickets to fucking crazy waterfall underground.
That sounds much more entertaining.
No, it was pretty sweet. They lead you in there in the dark, and then they turn the lights on all at once so that you can be staggered by the majesty.
Ooh.
And there's a collection of things in there that make the waterfall light up different colors, which I honestly could have done without. I could have just done with watercolor. You know, just if they had shown me a watercolor of the scene.
Just a picture and of like, what they imagined what?
Just stay,
it would look like.
I'll just stay in Arizona. Arizona has pretty much the best majestic beauty. Huh. It does not get much more majestic or beauty than the Grand Canyon, I would like to say. Arizona is the Grand Canyon state.
That's true.
Yes.
Everyone should come here and see the Grand Canyon, unless you're from Mexico, in which case, just stay where you are. That was a joke about Arizona and Arizona's backwards policies.
Exactly.
No. Anyway, so that's what I did this weekend. I told a story about the Grand Canyon.
Cool.
Also, what weekend am I talking about? I don't. Yeah, all I did was play video games. What about you, Kevin? Have you been doing anything apart from playing video games?
I introduced myself to Dave Foley on an airplane.
Oh.
You sent me a text about that. You said, I think Dave Foley's on this plane. It's totally Dave Foley. I said hi.
Yep.
Yeah, was he having none of it? Or was he having any
nice.
Of it?
No, he was totally nice. He looks a lot older in person than I expected.
The last time I saw a video of him, I was like, fuck, man, that guy's like 1,000 years old. We are all going to die, like, real soon. Like, right away.
Yeah,
well, I mean, all the stuff that we know him for was a lot of time ago.
Yeah. Like, Kids in the Hall was one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah.
And that was back in the late 80s, early 90s or whatever. So that's, what, 1 million years ago? So.
Yeah, a million. Like, basically, X minus one, where X is the number of years between when Kids in the Hall came out and when we are all going to die.
Yes. So he was on a plane flying from LA to Chicago, and I was on that plane from the Phoenix part to Chicago. And the reason he was going there was because he was performing in a Radiolab live show that they did on Friday night. And I went to that, and it was great.
Awesome.
Man, I don't like it when a celebrity is on a flight with a fucking connecting flight. One of the chief things that I enjoy about being a grown-up with a grown-up amount of money and the ability to control my own destiny a couple hundred dollars at a time is that I never, ever have to fly anywhere with a fucking connection.
He was in coach.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Frugal.
Really? Who did he play on that? Oh, he was Dauber, the dolt football man. Yeah, he lost a lot of weight after that.
Well, I think he was just, that Dauber suit, it was just sort of a skin mecca that Dave Foley, being a much smaller person, could climb inside and pilot.
And they reused the suit for the miniseries of Stephen King's The Stand.
Mm-hmm. And also for Oz, I believe.
Oh, good.
Jesus.
I'm not sure it was Dave Foley in the suit in Oz.
Oh, it could have been somebody else in the suit, yeah. But, I mean, that's one advantage of wearing that suit, is that it doesn't matter how old you look. Right? Like, Dave Foley could be inside the Crypt Keeper suit and be like, oh, look how young Dave Foley looks. I also, speaking of old and young and how we're all going to die, I saw Looper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw Looper this weekend. And you know what? I am not hearing any of the bullshit that the haters are bringing on account of they gotta hate, because that was a fucking great movie.
Awesome. I'm going to go see it then.
So many people were like, I don't believe you, Zach. I don't believe that movie was anything other than totally ridiculous, because the preview was totally ridiculous. And I said, were you watching the same preview as me? Because when I saw a preview for a movie, I was like, movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, check. Movie with Bruce Willis, check. Movie with time travel, check. Yeah. That's three checks. Doesn't even matter what else happens in this. It could be like, what are some things that I don't like? The whole second half of the preview could have been Sandra Bernhardt dancing at a Henry Rollins concert.
Remake of Big Fat Greek Wedding.
I don't know anything about Big Fat Greek Wedding. Is
I'm
it
just,
bad?
I'm just assuming it's a movie you wouldn't like.
Oh, okay. Because I don't like Greeks.
No, because you don't like weddings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. I do try to avoid them whenever possible. Kevin, what was your objection to this movie? Why don't you... I texted you the instant the movie ended, and I was like, yeah. Oh, man, you need to see this. This is the kind of thing that we like.
Okay, well, so...
Not that you and I like exactly the same things, but, like, one of us can usually tell when the other is going to like something because we're bro FFs.
I hated Brick. It was one of the movies that I have that I have most vehemently disliked, which was the previous film by this director.
Okay, I have not seen Brick.
You might like it. It's extremely stylized, and you have to be really interested in the style for it to work at all.
And how dreamy Joseph Gordon-Levitt is, because I'm pretty interested in that.
Sure, sure. And so then
Jogo Lev is what I call him on my Tumblr, where I collect pictures of him.
When the trailer started, the idea was like, what if the mafia had a time machine? And I was like, oh man, are they gonna like go back in time to win all the races and get all the money and control the world or whatever? But no, they just send people back in time to be shot because they can't shoot people in the present. Right? And I was like, what the fuck? It just, like, it sounded so dumb just from the, like, the movie guy's, you know, voiceover explanation of it. And then, you know, of course, it, like, I was like, oh, yeah, I bet this guy's going to have to, like, shoot himself or whatever. And, like, sure enough, immediately the guy that pops through is himself 30 years later. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So,
but
that,
in
like,
the, all of that is explained in the fiction.
Okay. All right.
Everything is justified in the fiction, and it's done really well, and it is both a cool action movie and it is really funny. Like,
so I mean, here's the thing, because I have such extremely low expectations of it, then it has nothing to do but impress me, right? Like, so I'm sure it'll be great. But like, you know, my going into this.
Yeah, but no, but you know that, and so you like that's the.
Oh, so
you
the
know,
placebo won't work.
Yeah, you I know, think I think there. I think I saw a study like a year ago that suggested that placebos still work even when you know they're placebos.
Yeah, somebody was talking about. I forget. I think it might have been. I think it might have been Dave's girlfriend Jenny was talking about how she's consciously taking sugar pills to help with some back problem or something, and they're helping even though she knows. It might have been somebody else, but yeah, it's weird. I don't know how that can be a thing.
Well, I mean, sugar probably helps your back, right?
No, I mean, it helps you stay alive, and you being alive helps your body send...
Regulate the back.
Antibodies? T cells?
Sure.
To your back? Maybe you have a back AIDS? And you send extra T cells from the sugar. You miss your T cells, like in the cereal.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they tell the cancer,
don't be a fool.
Don't be a fool. Yeah.
Yeah. If you take more blood than you deserve, then the host will die, and there will be no blood left for you. And I pity the fool.
Imagine how tiny those gold chains would have to be.
Yeah, they'd be like individual amino acids. Those are like chains, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So do you think that the T cell with the most amino acids on it is the one that is most effectively able to give a stern lecture to a cancer? No, wait, was it AIDS? I don't remember if it was AIDS. I think this started out being about AIDS and then turned into about cancer.
Yeah, cancer.
It turned
AIDS.
Into about cancer. This movie turned into about Schmidt. And then I saw... I was going to say Kathy Griffin. I think I meant Kathy Bates. I saw Kathy Bates' boobs.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the thing that happens in that movie.
Yes, it is.
You know, she's a handsome lady. Kevin, have you been playing any video games? Also, see Looper. Stop being an asshole and go see Looper. That goes for you, too, listener. Stop being an asshole.
I don't.
All of you. Stop, stop being thousands of assholes and go see Looper.
I'm. I'll put it in my Netflix queue.
You'll watch it on your next workstation.
Yes. I have not played a ton of video games. I don't know, 2 months ago, another Move the Box expansion came out with yet another, like, 170 levels or whatever. And just today, I finally beat the last one.
You know, I wish that I had a time machine so that I could go back in time and make it so you didn't download Move the Box in the first place.
Of all the puzzle games that I've gotten, that has been the one that they have that has consistently gotten new levels, and it's very simple, but it's so boring.
It seems mean that you would want to deprive him of something he so obviously enjoys.
But he does. I don't think he enjoys it. I think it's a compulsion. I think that the new levels and shit coming out for that just trigger his compulsion loops.
Oh, man, well, do you think it's like a Manchurian Candidate thing?
There's
he's going to get to that one puzzle that triggers his brain and he'll assassinate somebody?
Where he suddenly tries to kill Queen Elizabeth at the baseball game?
Yeah.
I might be confusing the Manchurian Candidate and the Naked Gun 2.5.
Well, they were very similar movies.
Yeah.
Except that Angela Lansbury wasn't on the Naked Gun.
Oh, man. I wish. I wish I could see Angela Lansbury writhing around in a full-body condom. Man, remember when O.J. Simpson wasn't, like, a murder joke?
Oh, man, yeah.
And he could just be in a movie. It would be like, hey, it's O.J. Simpson. That guy's not murdering everyone.
Have you guys ever seen...
Now you can't even say that anymore. No, is that the one with the flagon with the dragon and the brew that is true and Angela Lansbury with the ripe-ass titties?
Yep. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's from 1956. It's awesome.
Oh, so there's no like Caligulan orgies where you get a better view of Angela Lansbury's ripe ass titties.
No, there's none of that.
Is Angela Lansbury still alive?
I don't know.
I don't remember hearing about her dying.
Huh.
I feel like that's one that I would have heard of in the various places.
Well, the joke
that
I was about to make about Angela Lansbury's titties relied on her being a skeleton, so I guess I will have to not make the joke.
All I know is that her name is a killing word.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. You can shout it into your weirding module.
All right.
I played a fair bit of Hive, which is a board game, sort of.
Yeah.
You bought a copy of that.
This game. Yeah. I've been playing.
I remember you getting angry about Amazon shipping about things.
Yeah, I misunderstood. They are not really good at differentiating between. I had never seen something that was like estimated shipment by a certain date because I got several items at the same time, and some of them, the first couple were all guaranteed or estimated delivery by this date. And in the exact same place and font color and everything above another item was estimated shipment date by all the same date that all the other things were to be delivered. And so I just didn't read it carefully. I just looked at all the dates and was like, oh, okay, this will all get here when I need it. But turns out that was the estimated shipment date, which means it's going to be another 3 to 5 days to get here, which is frustrating.
Don't you have Amazon Prime? Are you some sort of savage?
Yeah, it's not. It was not covered under Prime.
Yeah, so don't buy it. That's
remember
what
when
I do.
Things used to take 6 to 8 weeks for delivery?
No, I never ordered anything during those times because I'm a guy who spends a lot of time thinking about how I'm going to die. So I don't know if I have 6 to 8 weeks left. If I want something, 48 hours from now, because I could say with some confidence that I will probably be alive 48 hours from now, but 6 to 8 weeks, man, just think about all the shit that could go wrong with you in 6 to 8 weeks. Think about all the stories you've heard about, like, oh yeah, man, I had a toothache and I went to the doctor and he was like, sorry, man, you've got 5 to 7 weeks to live. And then you're like, fuck, I just ordered a fucking set of Ginzu knives. Now I'm never going to be able to cut a tin can and then a tomato. fuck.
But yeah, well, that's a sad story.
I don't really know how to follow that.
I will not buy anything that is not on Amazon. But like, if something is not available on Amazon Prime, I will go to a store.
Huh. Well, what about like used stuff? Do you just not ever buy anything used on Amazon?
I never buy used. Well, unless it's like something where it's like, oh, I've had this vague notion in my head that I wanted this thing for the last 5 years, so it totally doesn't matter if it gets here before I die or not, so I'll just order it and see what happens. I'll just hope for a lucky surprise. Yeah.
That's about all.
What did I order used? I ordered a board game. I didn't order a used board game. I think of them as used if they're not fulfilled by Amazon and eligible for Amazon Prime. It's just like a lower quality of things. Like, I want this to be fresh out of an exploitative warehouse. Like, I want there to be a combination of blood and tears on the pristine... Yeah, Bleers. I want there to be Bleers on the pristine plasticine packaging. Plasticine? Is that even a thing anymore? I feel like that's
like clay.
A thing that they wrapped stuff in the 60s. Yeah,
they just bake your package into a big clay envelope.
A big Bakelite clamshell. Yeah. Oh, that's great. You open it up and there's like a telephone on it for no reason. Yeah, you know, we just had all this Bakelite. We thought we'd put a telephone in here. This is cool. It's not even plugged into anything.
I have no idea what's going on anymore.
So, move the box.
Yep.
And
Hive.
Hive is that board game with the hexagons.
Yes, and you have like it's like a sort of a variant of chess in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I watched Dave play some of that. It seemed like a sort of a cross between chess and Go.
You know, I'm with Mr. Magnifico. If a game doesn't have any dice or any cards or any way for randomness to make up for the fact that I'm stupid, then I'm not going to be any good at it.
You like Agricola or whatever? Like, isn't there no randomness?
There is a little bit of randomness in Agricola.
Puerto Rico.
There's a little bit of randomness in Puerto Rico.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, the which fields are available. You shuffle those tiles. There's no hidden information, really.
Pretty minimal. Theoretically, you're randomness.
It is pretty minimal randomness. Yeah. Sure. I like that. Are you good at Hive? Do you consistently beat everyone at Hive, Kevin?
I have probably.
It's a board game, Zach.
Probably half of the games that I've played, so maybe not. I mean, it's.
Although I don't know.
Were you playing the other half of them against yourself? In fact, were all the games you played against yourself so that you won half of them and lost half of them?
Kevin,
you've ruined my secrets.
Am I remembering this correctly, Kevin, that you don't really like chess?
I'm not a big fan of chess. Yeah.
Is it because you're bad at it? Is it because you lose less than 10%?
I'm not very good at it. And it's also a very... It feels like a very long game to me for very little payoff.
What? I mean, what's the payoff of playing any game, buddy? Life's a journey, not a destination. Because your only destination is the fucking oblivion. Your only destination is death. And you just get to be dead forever. And so, tough shit. You didn't get your sweet ladder from the Home Shopping Network because it took too long to mail it to you.
I've never really gotten into chess. It's weird because I like this game a lot and it's very reminiscent of chess. It has pieces which have different ways of moving.
Yeah, I mean, like chess, it has mosquitoes. Like chess, it's ladybugs. On a hex grid.
Yep.
Yeah. Like chess, pieces can sit on top of other pieces. Sort of weird way, yeah.
Checkers.
Your version
that, right?
of chess sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Man, you know what is the hallmark of a person who doesn't understand anything? Huh. Making chess variants. That's a thing. You try it, and then you're like, wait a minute. This is a ridiculous idea. And then you stop.
Did you try making chess variants?
Everybody did.
Mm, yep.
Yep.
I remember playing some chess variants out of Dragon Magazine. There is that nightmare game, too. Spelled K-N-I-G-H-T.
It's chess but all nights. Yeah, and half of them are your grandma. And it's the board, but it's also the Colosseum.
It was a deck of cards that you got, and you played chess with a hand of these cards, and you could play the cards to give your pieces different powers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, you know. Chess is pretty good, though.
I mean, it stood the test of time, I guess.
There's no I think that's why it's good. Or deck of cards to draw from, though.
No. No, I mean, you just sort of like, there is the randomness associated with the genetic lottery, right? I mean, like, were you born to somebody who had offspring who were good at chess? Guess you'll find out by playing a million games of chess and seeing how many of them you win. Do you think that somebody could play a million games of chess before they died? Just rotted in a hole in the ground?
I don't think so.
How long
does it's possible.
Do they get to do anything else?
I don't know. Yeah. Could you play 1,000 games of chess a day for 3 years?
Probably not.
Okay, you could can, you play I mean, 500 games play... of chess a day for 6 years?
How many games of chess like could you fit into 6 to 8 weeks?
Could you play 250 games of chess a year for 12 years? Could you play 125 games of chess a year for 24 years? Could you play... what's half of 125? 67 and a half?
I don't think you can play a half a game of chess.
No, 57 and a half? 67 and a half?
But it doesn't mean anything.
67. The first half of the could last you play, half. Could you play 68 games of chess a day for 48 years? Yeah, this is getting rough. I don't think that you could play a million games of chess in one lifetime. Well, I mean, so you could do that thing where it's like, oh, I'm going to play 400 simultaneous games of chess against 400 preschoolers, and you probably get those over with pretty quick. You know, you just run from board to board, just moving randomly, and probably, well, although I didn't say you had to win.
Yeah, that's true.
You just had to play. But you need them to be decisive, right? You need to get them over with, because I've got a million games of chess to play, because it's super important that that happens before I die.
That's right. 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. I played some video games.
What video games did you play? At least 40 games a day if you're going to live to be like 90 and you start when you're 20.
I mean, you can start before that. Okay, so if Wilt Chamberlain played 30 games of chess with each of the women that he slept with, then that would be a million games of chess, right?
Huh.
No. Well, yeah, that would be 900,000 games of chess. So maybe you'd have to play like 35 games. That would be well over a million. And Gene Simmons would take a Polaroid of each one. All right, I have a question for you guys, because there's a thing. I think there might be a thing about the world going on here that I don't understand. So I played the demo of XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
Sweet.
And it's really good. Awesome. I really like it. I really want that game to come out so that I can buy it and I can play it and shoot some aliens and stuff. It seems like a very streamlined version of XCOM, right?
Nice.
Like a lot of the, you know, everything is explained. The tactics aspect of it didn't bother me because you started out with a team of four guys, which is kind of like one guy. I like a game where you have one guy, and I don't like a game where you have eight guys, but a game where you have four guys is more like a game where you have one guy than a game where you have eight guys.
Okay.
That is not true at all, but for whatever reason, this felt okay.
Is it because they're like Voltron and one of them forms the head?
Yeah, they're all sort of stuck together, and it's really just one. In fact, I think it might have just been this guy's arms and legs that you controlled independently.
Oh, that would be interesting.
So after the first mission in the demo, you have to pick where you want to build your XCOM base. And the different continents that you build on give you different bonuses to what you're doing. And so, like, the American one is air and space. And you get, like, base and transport upgrades at a reduced cost or whatever. And I think the European one was, like, you know, enlightenment or whatever, and you got some scientists for free. And the South American one was called We Have Ways. And the bonus is autopsies and interrogations take no time.
Huh.
And is this a joke about expatriate Nazis in South America?
That was what I was going to suggest,
and
that's pretty weird.
If this is a joke about expatriate Nazis in South America, is the implication that the predilections of expatriate Nazis in South America somehow, over the course of the last 100 years, turned into a cultural predisposition to, like, vivisection and torture. And
Latin America has a lot of, like, history of, like,
yeah, maybe it was just,
and
you know, maybe Eva Perón had a hobby that they didn't say anything about in that musical.
I mean, I'm interested in propriety and what it's okay to joke about and what it's not okay to joke about, not insofar as I want to be beholden to it, but as a kind of a sideshow curiosity, right? And I'm probably overthinking this, but when I thought, oh, okay, all right, America, yeah, you know, space, like, we got engineers and stuff. I mean, we got a real go-get-em attitude about blowing shit up in airplanes like that, sure. Yeah, Europe, you know, smart dudes in Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember what the Asia bonus was. Mm.
Was it like a tech building upgrade or something?
I don't know. But the South American one, just the fact that that's what it was. I was like, I'm trying to figure out a way that that makes sense. And I cannot figure out a way that that makes sense, that I would think that somebody would commit to.
Maybe it's just that this was a bonus they wanted to give, and the other alternative was Antarctica, and that would have made less sense.
I don't think you could do it in Antarctica. Also, autopsies and interrogations, like, do you really have to, like, why couldn't the science guys get the autopsy and the military guys get the interrogations? Why did this have to imply that being good at autopsies and being good at interrogations were somehow the same skill set?
An autopsy is sort of like torturing a dead guy.
They both involve knives.
Okay, sure. I mean, I guess you're trying to find out something by damaging tissue, I guess. You know, and also you're a Nazi. You know, maybe you're an elderly Nazi. Maybe one of the things that they learned in the concentration camp medical labs was how to make those Nazis live into this future so that they could benefit the XCOM program.
Oh.
By torturing and autopsying sectoids.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, xenophobia expands to literally everywhere except the country you live in. So, like, as we discover more and more planets filled with different things for you to hate, you just really, like, it just unfolds. It's like a multiplication of bigotry. Anyway, those are my thoughts
on
XCOM. That's a good game.
It just pushes the bigotry up a level, because if we had extraplanetary aliens to hate, then I'm sure all the humans could get along together much
really,
better.
That's Alan Moore's theory, at least, right? Mm. They call that the Moore theory.
Do they?
No. Oh. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that. It didn't make any sense, and it wasn't funny. I'm excited about the video game of XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm glad to hear that it is basically the same game, but streamlined. Because that's exactly what I want.
It's 3D,
out of a game.
And they do some stuff where you run up, you know, you move your guy into cover, and then you go to shoot, and then it plays a little movie. Like, maybe you throw a grenade, and, you know, it's like camera rushing around in the scenery.
Can you name your dudes?
I don't know. Mine. I think one of mine was named Sanchez or Wisniewski, some foreigner name. I don't know. They all look alike to me.
Names?
Yeah, names. I played a bunch of WoW. Did you play a bunch of WoW?
Played a bunch of WoW.
What are your thoughts on Mists of Pandaria?
I'm enjoying it. It's going pretty well, and I'm nearly at the level cap. I've got maybe 2.5 zones worth of quest content left, and there's a bunch of stuff that I'm encountering that I can't yet do because I'm not yet at the level cap, so it's exciting to see this stuff in the future that I'll get to play with. And yep, the guild's getting together and we're going to do some dungeoning and gearing up tomorrow, so that'll be fun.
Is this a guild that you were in years ago?
No, this is
the... And they've become reactivated?
No, this is the guild that I joined pretty much at random. I picked a good-seeming, very large guild when I started playing again at Cataclysm, and they turned out to be pretty cool dudes.
So I also joined a giant guild when I started playing at Cataclysm, and they turned out to be people who never speak or do anything, but they earn a lot of experience and get a lot of those perks.
Yeah.
And so I'm afraid to leave the guild because then I will move really slow.
Mm.
I still can't shake the feeling when I play World of Warcraft that it is just an old game.
It's definitely, they're definitely taking into account things that are going on in other games, and I think they're just being cautious about dumbing them in too quickly. Like the thing you were saying last week about not being able to kill somebody else's tagged mob. They have started doing, it turns out, in Pandaria, named quest mobs can be killed by any number of people
that
at once.
I think has been like that for quite a while.
I don't think so. Really?
Yeah, I definitely remember that being a thing one of the previous times when I played a bunch of WoW.
It's possible that I just did not get into a situation where me and somebody else was trying to kill the same dude in Cataclysm, because I was playing Cataclysm so late in the season.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll edit in the us talking about skills and stuff. Awesome Elmo says, I was reading an article about Blizzard that had this to say. They've worked out that the process of learning a game is a major part of the fun of the game for many people, so it has focused efforts on becoming incredibly good at giving them a whole new game to learn every 15 months or so, rather than using data to try to achieve some artificial perfection in its existing game systems. I was wondering, what do you think about this in relation to KOL? For example, there's obviously an element of this to challenge paths, which is great fun. Do you think you're ahead of the curve on these kind of game design principles? I think we've lucked into a lot of accidental insights about things, and by focusing on just, like, seeing what we think is making people have the most fun, we have gotten, you know, like, the fun has kind of evolved into the game because that's what we're paying attention to, rather than, you know, trying to achieve, like, mathematical perfection or to make the most money or whatever. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a neat point about World of Warcraft. Although, I really wish, going back into World of Warcraft, I really wish that I just had less shit that I could do at this point.
Wow.
There's a lot of it that doesn't even open up until you get to 90.
Oh, but I'm just saying, like, my fucking abilities and stuff.
Like skills.
They changed. I don't.
That's fascinating coming from you, because you love skills. You love, like, designing skills and giving people more skills and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, but in a turn-based game, right? But
skills,
right? But and that's the thing. Like in World of Warcraft, in a boss fight in a dungeon that lasted 4 minutes, there are probably 200 different skills that I could use, and I feel like I should be. There's something that I'm supposed to be doing here.
Huh.
The reason that I have all these skills is because they are all situationally useful, but I don't understand how they are situationally useful, and I don't have time to read about it, which is in KOL, right, because it's turn-based and because fights, even hard fights, have a relatively small number of actions that you can perform in them. I feel like it's okay for there to be 100 skills that you never use, because it's not like they're still there on your action bar from a time when you dragged them there and you don't know which ones are good, right? Like, you can just figure it out. Not that you can't do that in between fights in World of Warcraft, I guess, but I don't know why it feels different to me.
Hmm.
Like, I feel like in the secret world, which has hundreds and hundreds of skills that are available to you, I don't ever feel like I am overwhelmed by having to figure out what to do, because they only let you use a certain number of them, right? Like you can only have 5 of them socketed.
Well, certainly in a real-time fight, when things are frantic, having to make choices about what to use next, I don't know, it's the pressure on that makes that sort of choosing more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I see all of this shit, like, pages and pages and pages of skills in my manual, and I'm like, you know. Like, I used to just have this bar of totems, and I knew it was just the beginning of the fight, just throw down some totems. And now totems are all these things that give you, like, you know, 15 seconds of something or whatever. And it's like, this is just sort of like, I'm wearing 500 trinkets, and I will prioritize trinkets that just give passive benefits over ones that you have to activate, because it's one less thing to have to think of, even if it's numerically an inferior option. And so that's just kind of how I feel about all the skills that I've got now.
In learning how to use the new build and stuff, I downloaded an add-on that actually has somebody figured out like all the math behind when you should use which skill. And so it's got a thing that pops up an icon showing the picture of which skill I should probably use next from moment to moment.
Jesus.
So it makes things a lot easier.
I mean, it's how hard is it to go from that to just letting it play for you?
Yeah,
you can't though, because
only because they don't let you.
Yeah, they don't
right,
let you.
Like not because it wouldn't make sense. Right, which is the yeah.
I mean,
skills,
you know,
man.
When I played as a Shadow Priest, I felt like I had a bunch of like utility skills, and I would keep them available, and then, you know, I always felt proud of myself for knowing when to use certain skills in sort of weird situations, and I thought that was,
sure.
that was like a neat aspect of the game.
You never walked away from it for a year and then came back, though.
That's true. That's also true.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm useless. I mean, I'm running around and I was like, you know, killing some dudes, and I was like, all right, expansion. These dudes are hard. Right. It's taking more effort to kill these dudes than the dudes that I was killing the last time I played this. But then I like ran a couple dungeons and got some sweet Asian themed shoulder pads. and then it was like, all right, suddenly I'm just murdering these dudes in half again. And it's fine. You know, and I'm just using the skills that it has those on screen pop ups now. Like when Lava Surge triggers or whatever. Like there's a skill that will occasionally get some benefit from some other skill that makes it instant cast, and it just like pops up this sort of, I don't know, like a tattoo on the screen, like an overlay that goes around you.
Oh,
so there's,
okay, yeah,
right. And there's
about.
One of those.
I've
with,
got one. Like
you know,
that.
When Kevin walked in and saw me playing the other day, he was like, "What's that weird thing on the ground in front of you?" And I'm like, "Ah, no, that's actually a little weird." A decal, mm-hmm. not tattoo. Yeah. Dad, can you help me put the tattoos on this model tank that I just built?
So you're going to paste it in over that fart noise?
Yeah, sure. I should mark the fart. Yeah, and then I have been playing like a fuckload of FTL.
Yeah.
Have you also been playing a fuckload of FTL?
I have not really. I've been too focused on WoW to get a lot of FTL in, but it is a game that I intend to go back and play more games of. I can't really like it's a game that I really, really enjoy playing, but I can't really play more than one at a time.
Well, of course not.
Well,
I only have
one
computer.
One in a session. Okay. I'll go through. I'll play one ship until it dies, and then I'll do something else.
Kevin, have you bought FTL yet?
I have not.
I don't know. This is another one of those things where I feel like I have gotten into this game to a similar extent to the extent to which I got into The Binding of Isaac, and I am afraid that you're going to play it and just beat it on the first try, and then be like, oh, this is a stupid game for stupid pussies.
If anybody in the world could beat that friggin' mothership on the first game, I don't believe it.
You will eat your hat and send them a picture of the turd with little bits of hat in it?
No,
I mean, it
I
sounds like
hat.
It's pretty random, right? Like, you could have a really lucky game.
Yeah, well, it is in the same way that The Binding of Isaac is, right? But that doesn't make it so you don't get way, way better at it by playing it.
You definitely learn what's going on and what to do and what not to do.
I have definitely had games where even this far into my career, where I'm not, like, I have gotten to the point where I pretty regularly, like, in almost every game I get to the boss, I have not yet beaten the boss. I can sometimes get to the second form of the boss. I'm playing it on easy. Yeah, like, okay. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to like unlock ships and stuff, which I've done some of that. I had a weird game where I set out to all that I wanted to do was unlock the variant layout, because I didn't realize that the layouts were more than cosmetic. Like, they're actually configurations of these ships with different systems and different numbers of crew and different weapons and stuff. So I decided that I wanted to unlock the variant of the starting ship, and I looked at the achievements. You have to get 2 of 3 achievements that are associated with a particular ship to unlock the variant version of the other ship. And I was like, all right, well, one of these I got via a bug, but then my computer locked up, and when I ran it again, the achievement had gone away.
Oh.
it was a thing where, like, I think that all my crew died when my ship was down to 1 hull point, and the game ended, and then when I hit restart, it gave me the achievement for healing from 1 hull point back up to full hull.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so there's an achievement for taking all, like, getting knocked down to 1 hit point and then doing a full restore, which I was like, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this game, and I'm just going to randomly wander around. I'm going to get enough money to pay for a full heal, and then I'm going to find an asteroid belt that is next to a store, and then I'm just going to sit there and let asteroids hit me doing 1 damage until I get down to 1 hit point, and then I'm going to jump to the store and do the full heal. But in doing that, before I found that situation, I had enough extra money that I was also able to do the other achievement, one of the other achievements, which is to just have every system installed. Right, so I install, like, the cloaking device and the drone control and the crew teleporter, and then by the time I got that achievement, healed back up to full, and I was like, oh, I might as well just keep going. Ended up with the only time in my playing history of this where I've ended up with 2 of those bug crew guys, the mantis that are, like, good fighters, and I had the crew teleporter, so I was like, oh, well, maybe I should. Just, like, in a game where I'm not invested in it, I should see how this works. I'll, like, you know, send the dudes over and see what it's like to, like, board the enemy ship and kill stuff. And just did that a bunch. Went through, like, a couple entire sectors doing that. And it's like, wow, this is neat. You get a lot more loot.
Yeah.
And you get a ton of extra fuel if you don't blow them up. And it's like, you know, as long as you can just sort of focus on shields and not even really worry about your weapons if you have this. It's hard to get going with it, though. It's hard to, like, start out with that being your strategy, but if you happen to get to that point, it's cool. And then I ended up, like, doing one of the plotline quest things that unlocks another ship. Like, in this total throwaway game where my only goal was to take a bunch of damage and then heal it.
Awesome.
I mean,
I had another game where
that kind of speaks to, like, how if you start exploiting edges of the system, sometimes you find interesting niches to inhabit, right? Like, I think that's kind of awesome. You know, I don't know if it's a repeatable kind of thing, but if you tried to do that again.
Well, and I also wonder, like, if I had tried to do that on my first game, right? Like, when I go in there now, I, like, all right, well, what weapons do I have? What is this ship doing? And I have a sort of, like, baseline tactical understanding of how to deal with the situation, like, and just, you know, stuff that, like, wasn't obvious to me. Like, this game has taught me how to play it without really making me aware that it was teaching me how to do anything, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, also, like, reading our forums where somebody was like, yeah, upgrade your doors. I was like, wait, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that is a huge big deal.
What does that
mean? And now I know. It makes it so. So it used to be, I forget what podcast I was, you know, I don't, I because it was Griffin McElroy that said this. They were talking on the Besties podcast about FTL and him saying, yeah, like, basically the first time I get boarded by enemy guys, I just turn my computer off, which is how it was for me. Like, in the first 20 games that I played, if you get boarded, you're just fucked. But, like, upgrade the doors, and if you get boarded, you are totally not fucked.
Yeah.
Like, and that's all it took. Like, that just, like, you know, and it's just, like, 25 scrap. You don't have to power it, which I thought you did. Huh. Yeah, but now I understand how that works.
What it does is it makes it so that boarders can't open the doors.
They have to, like, shoot through them, and it takes a while.
Yeah.
So you can, like, run dudes in there to fight them, run the dudes back to med bay to heal, run the dudes back in again to fight them some more.
Oh, wow.
And you're just fine. Like, even if you only have 2 dudes, if they board you with 2 dudes, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
Unless they're also, like, using missiles that are causing hull breaches, or your fucking fight. You got boarded right next to the goddamn star that sets your shit on fire.
Oh god, that
every turn.
Awful.
Yeah, I had one game where I died in the third system because I jumped. There was nothing. I jumped. I was at a star. Everything was on fire, and it got to the point where I was like, fuck, I am not going to be able to fix this faster than the star is setting my shit on fire. So I jumped again, like I just waited for the thing to charge up, jumped again into another star, and just like more fire. And yes. I'm like, all right, well, that was a pretty sweet game.
Jumped over the bottomless
FTL.
Pit and into a bottomless pit.
What is that, Talisman?
No, it was
Dungeon Quest.
Dungeon Quest,
Good old Dungeon Quest. So that was pretty cool. I had another game where I made it all the way. I was like, all right, I am doing great. I am the best equipped to kill the boss that I have ever been. I've got 8 crew members. Every station, the guy is fully leveled up. My ship is like fucking super combat ready. This is great. And then the first jump that I took in the 8th sector, the enemy used one of those breach drones, which punched a hole in the oxygen room, broke the oxygen section, then set it on fire, and then just stood there. So I had to send dudes in. And they died so fast that I lost 6 of my 8 crew members.
Man.
Fixing that one room. Like, any 2 of those 4 things in the oxygen room are pretty shitty.
Yeah.
But, like, getting all 4 of them at once, like, in that particular room was just a fucking death sentence.
It would be
there wasn't a fire. There was a fire after I fixed the breach and before I fixed the, like, because you have to fix the breach before you can fight dudes or fix systems. Mm. You have to fight dudes before you can fix systems. I don't know where putting fires out goes.
It would be cool if one of the random things you could find at a shop would be like an auxiliary redundant oxygen system that you could install.
Yeah,
on your ship.
I'd pay 100 scrap for that.
Yeah.
I'd buy that for $1 if a scrap was 1 cent. That, speaking of which, this is there are 2 things that, having spent the amount of time that I've spent playing it, which is not, it is not enough to really understand it, and it is not enough to complain about it or to make suggestions to these guys, I don't think, but I am a presumptuous motherfucker, so I'm going to do it anyway. There are 2 things that I wish this game had. One, I think
skeletons.
Everyone wishes this game had, which is just an endless mode. Like, just a mode where you are just going from place to place and there is no boss fight.
Yeah.
Because it's... For whatever reason, The Binding of Isaac doesn't feel this way to me. It doesn't feel like the whole game is just prelude to this boss fight. You know, and so the whole game comes down to whether or not you win this one fight. Actually, spoiler alert, actually fucking 3 fights. Because every time you think you've won. No, it turns out this thing that was so hard that you couldn't understand how you would ever even have a prayer of doing it. Oh, you have to do that and then immediately do something that is even harder. Oh, I was just kidding when I said that you didn't, that wasn't true twice.
And then a sausage.
So I wish that there was a way of playing it that didn't culminate in that boss fight.
Yeah.
You know, I wish that there was just a, even maybe without the Rebel fleet chasing you, right?
Yeah.
Even if you just had the amount of fuel that there is spawned by the map and just an infinite number of sectors to move forward, just see how far you can get.
Mm.
The other thing that I wish that there was a little bit less randomization. Specifically, so right now it generates a sector and it puts a bunch of stores in it that sell various things. And I don't know if it says, all right, well, this store is going to have crew and drones. This store is going to have systems and weapons. And this store is going to have weapons and crew.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it is really just random, if it just generates the stores totally at random.
I mean, have you ever encountered a situation where every store was the same or whatever?
Well, yes, all the time, because in traversing a sector, you only go to about a third of the points in it, right? Because they become unavailable over time as the fleet is chasing you and you have a limited amount of fuel and a limited number of resources with which to traverse this map. And so I don't know. I constantly run into things where it's like, all right, well, I'm in Sector 5, and there has never been a weapon for sale. Mm-hmm. And I wish that that was not the case. Like, I wish that the way that those stores worked is that they built, like, they had, all right, so we've got 30 stores in the game, and 5 of them sell weapons, and 5 of them sell drones, and 5 of them sell crew, and 5 of them sell subsystems, and whatever. And 5 of them sell augments, and then 5 of them are wild card. Let's say there's 25 stores, and there's 5 each of those things. And then it somehow, like, divided those up by the order in which you encountered them rather than the order in which they were placed.
Okay.
Right? It's like the procedural content generation based on what you are experiencing, based on what you could experience if you did a comprehensive explore of this thing. It's not such a big deal in something like, you know, The Binding of Isaac, where you can take the time to comprehensively explore every level. It's got this problem a little bit because of, like, they don't know how much money you've got, and they don't know how many keys you've got necessarily. But in this case, it's like, I would be fine with it generating a world where all of the stores only sold crew and none of them ever sold weapons if the systems, like, supported that fiction, right? Like, if it's like, all right, well, there aren't any gun stores in this particular iteration of the galaxy, so guns aren't important. So here's this system that will let you hurl crew at the other, like, you know,
catapult.
You can get them sick and then just hurl them into the, you know, into the air intake on this other ship. You know, the air intake. Because when you're in space, you need like a vent where you get all your air. No, I'm just trying to figure out a way that you could hurl, like, a bloated, diseased corpse of a crew member as a way of damaging the opponent's ship. So in a way, having to adapt your playstyle as a reaction to the way that the world gets generated around you and the way that you go through the world is interesting. But I feel like, and again, this is potentially due to just an incomplete understanding of the way that it works, right? Because I was also pissed off the first few games of The Binding of Isaac when it's like, why the fuck is there a store on level 1 where everything is more expensive than you know, my no money that I have? And then I realize that, like, systemically that usually works out, right? It is usually not the case that it just gives you a bunch of shit that's totally out of your reach. It's just that it so happened to be like that the first few times that I played. And I might just be getting unlucky with this, but it is like, if I want a cloaking device, no store will ever have it. If I don't have enough money for a cloaking device, every store will have it. And I wish that it wasn't the case that there were these strings of, I wish the randomness was mitigated a little bit in the way that you encountered those stores. And I mean, I guess it gets gameable if you do that, because if you go into a sector and you're like, oh, there's 3 stores there, and I know that the first one I go to is probably going to have weapons because I haven't seen a weapon in a while. You don't want people doing that fiddly bullshit, but, like, I wish that it were more plausible I wish it were more plausible to select a playstyle rather than letting the world gen select a playstyle for you, because there are going to be playstyles that you're good at. Like, I have found that a game where I get an ion cannon, I do twice as well as a game where I have missiles. Right, so I have just basically, like, the way that I want to play this game means that I don't really want to use missiles for anything, but I have only had an ion cannon in 3 of the 40 games that I have played, because I was like, all right, I want to find a store and buy an ion cannon, and that's like, all right, so I got some scrap, I got a couple, you know, extra layer of shield or whatever, all I need now is I need to go to a store and get an ion cannon, and I go to 20 stores in a row, which none of them sell any weapons at all, and then the game is over.
Part of that is going to be mitigated by your initial loadout, though, right? Because if you really depend on the ion cannon, then you should be taking, like, the NG ship that comes with one.
I guess that's true.
Also, in the same way that, like, upgrading the doors became a crucial part of strategy, like, maybe the game wants you to learn how to beat it when all you have is missiles, and there are viable strategies to do using that, right? Like maybe it's less random than you think, and each scenario has been tried and is possible or something. I mean, I'm this is me without having
and sure, and I mean that's, you know, I was trying to exhibit a little bit of humility and acknowledge that from the beginning that like it is possible that the reason that I feel like this is because of my incomplete understanding of mm-hmm. of the game. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like more often than not, when I am hoping for there to be something at a store, it is not there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a rare surprise when there is anything that I want at a store. Right. And so I sort of wish that, and I'm honestly curious about the generation mechanisms for this. Like, I kind of want a moddable version of this game so that I could just like set the Rebel Fleet speed to zero so that I could just like start going through and cataloging like what do the Sector Ones look like? Do they look like a bitch? looking at some wikis about this, it's like a given sector is like, depending on what kind of sector it is, but a given like civilian sector is like 2 to 3 stores, you know, so many whatever, so many things with ships, X number of them have asteroids, X number of them are X number of them or whatever, hazard. Man, fucking ion storms. I don't think I ever encountered one of those in the beta, and so I don't know if that was a feature that didn't get added until the release.
I don't think I've run into that.
It's when you're in a nebula and there is the environmental condition that cuts your power in half.
Ooh.
So it's like, oh, all right, well, I guess I either have guns or shields or air. Yeah. It's rough. It's brutal. Those will be the end of you.
Man, there is, I think it was on Giant Bomb, they were talking about some crazy-ass strategy they'd heard of where people were upgrading their oxygen supply all the way so that it refilled the ship really, really quickly. And then when they got into a combat, they just totally shut off the oxygen and
the third level med bay will heal you faster than a vacuum will hurt you. So you can just vent.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can just vent if you can get all your guys into the med bay, which I think you can never get more than 3 dudes.
Just turn the oxygen back on and take it off the shields.
Yeah, and then you're fine. Yeah, so that's, I mean, and you know, I think that's probably the way that they tuned that, right?
Like that's things like strategies that I don't feel like I'm ever going to be things like timing the shots of your ship to precisely coincide with the timing of their whatevers and things like that. It seems like a skill that is far away.
Yeah. I mean, I have certainly gotten better at it, and I don't feel like I've been struggling or learning like cheap tricks. You know, I feel like I've learning about auto fire was a big deal. And see, that's kind of why I prefer an ion cannon, right? An ion cannon, you can just set to auto fire on their shields, and then they just don't have any shields, basically. So then you work the other ones to damage whatever systems you don't want them using against you, and then you can manage whatever is going on without having to pay attention to the guns.
Yeah.
And it is weird the extent to which this game is a sort of attention management puzzle.
Is it
right?
Turn-based because or is it real time?
It's real time. You can pause it and issue orders, but it is very much real time, and it is very much like, fuck, can these guys fix this hole before the oxygen deprivation that this hole is creating kills them, or do I need to run them to the med bay and replace them with somebody else to fix it?
And meanwhile,
can they make it to the med bay? Like,
is
there a fire in between them and the med bay that will kill them? You know, it is like extremely tense. But I don't know. Just systemically, it's just super, super satisfying.
Yeah.
It is a really, really good game. And that is awesome. you know, just kind of came out of nowhere. This was like the game that nobody knew that they wanted. It's not really like anything else.
Mm. It's like Oregon Trail.
Is it though?
Yeah, if you could see, if you had a top-down cutaway view of the wagon in Oregon Trail and could assign the dad to the reins and the mom to sit at shotgun and Junior to work the oxygen.
Oh, yeah.
Then it would be exactly like Oregon Trail.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yep.
Yeah. Huh. I never even thought about that.
Huh. Yeah. All right, is that what we've been playing?
I think so.
I played a little bit of Borderlands 2.
What'd you think?
I haven't really played a lot enough to judge it yet because I'm playing it on console, and so it's going to take me some time to get used to first-person shooter controls on a console. At first blush, they seemed really slippery and difficult to aim, although Jenny didn't have a problem with it. But then again, she played a lot more Borderlands 1 than I did. But it was well written. The stuff that I have seen so far was funny. The interface is kind of balls.
You think?
Yeah.
I'm not super happy with it on the computer again, like just dealing with inventory and stuff. Mm-hmm. It very much feels like a console port.
I kind of wish I was playing it on computer just so that I could have a mouse to aim with.
Yeah,
but it's the sort of thing that you get used to after giving it a little time of playing.
I don't know that I have enough time left before I die to ever get used to actually
68 weeks.
like playing a first person shooter.
I'm gonna have to, because that's probably gonna be the only way I'm gonna be able to play BioShock Infinite.
Oh yeah,
and that's not one that I'm willing to pass up.
What?
I don't want a PC. I don't want to run Windows.
Oh, is it not going to come out on a Mac?
Yeah, it's probably
not
going
to come
out
on a
game.
Mac.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes, it is not music or Photoshop software.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There's no BioShock Infinite app.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's basically more Borderlands.
Yeah.
So if you like Borderlands, it seems like a thing that you would like.
Did you play through the first Borderlands the first time as a two-player thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like, I wonder if it plays very differently as a single-player versus as a multiplayer game.
Does the difficulty increase? Like, do the enemies have twice as many hit points if you have two players? Is it like a Diablo
I believe it, I don't know if it's twice as many, but the little loading screen blurbs indicate
Diablo's
that
minions increase in strength.
Yeah.
Diablo's minions grow stronger.
Dudes get harder and loot gets more if you have more players.
Well, all right.
Yep.
That is, in fact, what we have been playing. Kevin, what's in the news?
Well, I was wondering if you have heard about how awesome Arcee is.
Awesome! What?
Arcee, one of those Kickstarter backer people that we haven't been thinking at all of the show.
Yeah, I think we all realized that at the exact same time.
Yeah.
You know who would have realized that a lot earlier? Paulness McGafer, who is way smarter than we are, because he was smart enough to support our Word Realms Kickstarter.
I think he might have shared that information with our good buddy Trailer Park, who is also a Kickstarter backer.
Do you think that's actually the name of like a Vietnamese kid?
I mean, not necessarily a Vietnamese kid. I don't.
Isn't Park a Vietnamese last name?
Is it?
I don't know. Or is it Korean?
Maybe. Do you think that person is followed around by inclement weather systems all the time?
Hmm.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, can you see copies of him where he used to be because you're totally tripping balls? I'm totally seeing Trails or Park.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no. Yeah.
Trailsor is his internet name.
Sure. You know, so when you said O, you know what that reminded me of?
Oh,
Kickstarter
yes.
backer Courtney O.
Oh.
I was lucky. So, anyway, what's actually in the news? We should not try to cram all of these into a tiny amount of space. We should just try to remember next time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to remember the hat that's in the middle of the table because it becomes just a feature of the room. Speaking of space games that were kickstarted or that are kickstarted, there's one that's kind of interesting looking. It's a pretty small scale Kickstarter. It's only asking for a couple thousand dollars, and it's called Scrumbleship. Have you heard about this?
Huh. Nope.
It's it has been likened to Minecraft in space.
How is that different than the other Minecraft in space Blockade Runner?
I don't know. This one is trying to bill itself like they do not call themselves Minecraft in space. It's just sort of it looks kind of like that because it's all voxels and that kind of thing. But they're shooting to try to get like some kind of like super accurate space simulation going on.
So what is that? Like you get flashes of light in your eyes and it's a giant gross pain in the ass to poop?
Yeah, yeah. You build ships and then you either fight them versus like friends or you like make teams and fight them versus other teams or whatever. And it's like different kinds of weapons have different kinds of impact on various blocks that you can build your ships out of. Ships don't have hit points. They're just like the blocks themselves like take damage or not based on what their material is and what weapons are firing at them, that kind of thing.
Are the blocks functional? Like some of the blocks have to be like water pipes so that you can smoke dank nugs.
I don't know.
On the ship. And some of them have to be like Cheetos funnels so that you can eat plenty of Cheetos.
So it sucks the hydrogen out of the air as you're traveling through space and turns it into Cheetos.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's how propulsion works, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I know that I put gas in my car that I then drive to the store and buy Cheetos. Mm-hmm. So my car works by converting petroleum fossil fuels into Cheetos. Yeah.
Right, sure.
Which I then convert into Cheeto-scented turds.
Did you talk about Prison Architect on last week's show? I can't remember.
No. Uh-uh. This is the first time I've heard of it.
It is. Okay, that's weird, because I could have sworn that you were the one that was talking about it to me.
Not that I recall.
Because it's got a pretty funny video. They're trying to do like a homebrew Kickstarter type thing.
What does that mean?
They're not on Kickstarter. They're just selling like an alpha version of the game, and there's different tiers of support for it and that kind of thing. So they're not going through Kickstarter, which makes a measure of sense. If you can do that on your own, then you're not gonna have to pay the 10%.
Yeah, fuck Kickstarter, man. They're the man.
You know, so they don't get all the benefits of.
I'm being sarcastic. I mean, because you do lose what like 10% of that number.
Right. But you gain all of the exposure that
you lose 10% of that like giant number that's just the free money that you get because people believe in you and Kickstarter gave them the opportunity to give you money. Those guys.
The game looks kind of cool. It's like, you know, it's a simulation of building a prison and there's like
Is it better than that bargain bin prison tycoon that I played maybe 7 years ago?
I don't know. Probably.
Because that was pretty much the worst video game I've ever bought.
Is that a real thing?
Yep.
Video was kind of great because, you know, it's been in development for maybe 2 years or so, and there's still a bunch of bugs, and they were, like, selling bugs as features. They're, like, exclusive alpha backer features include the fact that prisoners will still continue to eat lunch peacefully when the cafeteria is on fire. And sometimes they'll take their lunch with them into the shower and strip down naked and eat their lunch there. And sometimes
I always consider the fire thing to be a feature of Dwarf Fortress.
Right. And I mean, and I think the game is at least partially inspired by Dwarf Fortress. And like, you know, prisoners will, their heads will occasionally be replaced with random other sprites, which they said happens more often than you might think. But it was just pretty funny that they were trying to sell these obvious like problems with the game as like exciting features that you get to play with because the game is not done and that.
So,
kind of thing.
I mean, would you describe Minecraft as having done a homebrew Kickstarter? Because they sold probably. An alpha?
Right. Like, except for the fact that you couldn't give
So
them...
would you describe everyone who has ever sold anything to people as having done a homebrew Kickstarter?
Well, okay, so if Minecraft would have been like, okay, you can give us $10 for the game, you can give us $20 for the game and a t-shirt, you can give us $50 for the game, a t-shirt, and we'll put you in the game somewhere. Like, that's the kind of thing that Introversion is doing with this prisoner.
All right, so selling a game and having a merchandise shop counts as being a Kickstarter. This is like being a Dracula.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, though, right? Like, having different tiers of stuff for a product that doesn't actually exist yet. Like, that's a very Kickstarter-style model.
Minecraft existed, and I played it.
Okay, yes. I'm not saying that Minecraft... you were the one that suggested that Minecraft was a Kickstarter thing. I did not say that.
You said yes when I said, sure. Was it?
And then I was like, well, let me refine that by...
Oh, man. So check it out. If you spent $40 on Minecraft instead of $20, you'd get 2 Minecrafts.
Yes.
So that's
like
a
twice as high?
That's like an additional tier.
Yeah.
Of rewards. Man. I would hate me if I were you.
Steam is coming out for Linux, which we've talked about a little bit before, but they're actually going to open their, have an external beta in the near future. So it's
Speaking of Linux, I went to this coffee shop today where the owner of the coffee shop was this Linux guy. And when I went to go inside the coffee shop was out of business.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think it is because the Linux guy that was in charge of the coffee shop decided that coffee, like information, wanted to be free, and so he did not able to make the money to sustain his business in a location.
Do you know who never would have made that mistake?
Who?
Call me Ishmael.
Mm. Oh,
awesome,
okay.
Kickstarter backers.
That guy's got a shrewd business sense and hates Linux.
Yes.
Sorry, I hope we didn't get him in trouble at the Ohio Linux Users Conference. I think that was last weekend, actually. Where MC Frontalot played after he played our con.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The Ohio Linux Enthusiast Jamboree? The Ohio Debian Apache Orgy.
ODAO.
Yeah. I think that's what they call it.
And then I guess Namco Bandai is making a new Pac-Man game, and they are trying to get people to vote on the art style for the game, and they were pretty dramatically different. I don't think they have any idea what kind of game they want to make yet, because these four different art styles.
Sure, they do. Pac-Man.
Yeah,
that's all they need to know.
Profitable.
Pac-Man.
Yeah, like they ranged from like 3D rendered art to like Powerpuff Girls style art to like anime, really big eye versions to like a weird
Pac-Man
Tim Burton
have an
style
eye.
Thing.
Did they have a thing where you could write in just a big dick and balls?
No, they didn't.
Because that would be the winner.
I don't think that's a good point.
That's a draw. That's something you
it's
draw.
A draw in ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Dick and balls with a Hitler mustache.
Oh. Okay.
All right. You win, Riff. You win this round.
This time.
You know who else won this round?
Who?
Mr. Lieutenant Time Bonkers.
Okay.
I think he won.
True.
He won.
Yeah,
he won
guy.
This round of most awesomest name.
Oh my god, that's great,
Mr. Lieutenant Time Bonkers.
Thank
we
you.
Salute you.
Thank you for supporting. We literally salute you because you outrank us.
Yeah.
And you're more of a gentleman than we are. Nobody ever called us Mr. Anything. Mr. Video Games Hot Dog is our father. Hey, so the assignment. The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. I think you guys played more of it in the past week than I did, so if you've got
Play
anything to
more.
Say,
I'm in dungeon 5 out of, is it 7 in the Dark World, not counting the last dungeon?
I believe so.
I think, yeah.
Where are you at, Kevin?
I have beaten the first dungeon in the Dark World and was trying to figure out a way to get to anything other than the second one, and I couldn't do it yet, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure yet whether I want to try to keep sequence breaking or just play it the way that they want me to.
Have you done any sequence breaking already?
I didn't ever go to the town, basically. I went straight to the dungeons. So, I mean, that was that's a little sequence breaky.
I would be leery about doing real sequence breaking without having a real intimate knowledge of the game, because I'd be afraid that you'd end up in a dungeon that was uncompletable because you didn't have the tool that you needed.
I'm curious. I found myself in a room where had I not had arrows, I would have been stuck. I found a place where I could get myself stuck.
Did you not already have that?
And I guess at that point you can. The mirror would take you back to the beginning of the dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, never mind. I totally wasn't stuck. So I probably would have just shut off my Super Nintendo and been really sad. I was thinking that I would have to just save and quit to get out of this place where I was stuck. Apparently, though, there is, in one of the early dungeons, a way that you can just inadvertently get yourself stuck. Huh. Like, they designed one of the dungeons such that you can run out of keys.
Interesting.
And, I mean, it's a Super Nintendo game, so they couldn't have patched it.
Right. That's interesting.
I don't remember where it is exactly.
I was trying to figure out ways to, like, keep a key from dungeon to dungeon. I haven't been able to end up with a net positive number of keys.
The one dungeon I found where it seemed like that was going to happen, it turned out not to be a thing because of one-way doors.
In playing the first, I'm like most of the way through the first Dark World dungeon, and I'm getting kind of fed up with backtracking and going through places that I've already been through.
You're not going to like dungeon 5.
Yeah, I mean, I know that that's what the game is, you know, and it's like, wow, I really don't know if I have the patience for this kind of thing anymore. And it makes me sad because I know this is an amazing game, you know, and I remember, like, the moment where you, like, beat the wizard and emerge on top of the pyramid is just so fucking powerful.
Yeah.
And the sound goes away, and it just gets to be the, like, howling wind, and you're like, oh, man, that is cool. You know, it was, like, foreshadowed a little bit when you go into the Dark World for a minute, and it teaches you the trick of, like, use the Dark World to get somewhere that you can't go. But, yeah. I also remember as a kid the world seemed a lot bigger when I played this first time.
Well, it's because you were much smaller.
I guess that's true.
It's pretty big. I mean, there's a lot going on.
But you can get from one end of it to the other in not a huge amount of time. Like, I remember thinking of, like, the forest, the eastern sort of middle segment of the map where the first dungeon is in the Dark World. I remember that just being, like, crazy labyrinthine, and it's really not. It's really not that big, and there's, you know, I just sort of went right through it this time.
I mean, there's just so much cool stuff.
Maybe I didn't get the secrets.
To explore and find, I think. Like, when I found the guy sleeping under the bridge, I was like, that is so freaking cool that they, like, bothered to put something here for you to find if you decided to swim all the way upriver.
I don't think I remember that.
The rewards for a lot of the, like sort of just out of the way stuff are, like, extra bottles is what it seems like they tend to give out.
I think that I always get the bottle that you buy from the guy, and I get the bottle that you get from going in the back door of the bar, and then that's it.
Huh. I've gotten a third one. I don't remember where I got it, though. I do remember where I got it. I got it from that chest that you have to drag out to that guy sitting in the desert.
Oh.
Oh, because he's the locksmith. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I've managed to not have to look anything up, but Dungeon 5 might be the one that breaks that for me, because it's a dungeon that is very complicated and maze-like, and it's at a point where I have to find a crystal switch that I can flip and still get back down to the lower floor. And when the last time I played it, I was just wandering around in there for like a half an hour or 45 minutes trying to figure out how to do it, and could not find the path that I needed to traverse to cause that to happen.
There's a lot of places where you have to use a bomb on a crystal switch. The more that I play this, the more that I disagree with that essay about this being a worse game in terms of everything being a lock and key puzzle than the first Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this game is explore-y as fuck.
Yeah.
And it has every bit as much of the, like, finding a crazy thing. I mean, in Zelda, the whole world is open to you more or less from the beginning, but that's because the world is really small,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's not...
And they would have gated you if they could have. You still need the raft. You still, like, there are definitely locks and keys in there that.
Right, but I mean, there's not. So if half of the map had been separated from another half of the map by a raft thing, then that would be true. But there are, like, only a couple of screens that you can't get to from turn one of Zelda.
So do you consider the stuff on the other side of the maze, like the thing that you have to know the sequence, like, you know, north, left, south, left, or whatever. Do you consider that to be accessible? Because it requires meta knowledge if you
it
haven't
is,
been told
but
about
I mean,
it.
I, as a kid, I solved that with just brute force experimentation.
Wow.
I did not find the explanation of that until. Yeah. After I'd already figured it out.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's... There's only really three directions you can go off of any screen, and sometimes only two, depending on which direction you came in from. So it's not that hard to hack it. That's how I did it this most recent time that we played.
Huh.
Yeah, and I don't remember... The thing where you have to just keep going up in the Lost Hills, I don't think I figured that out on my own. I think somebody told me that.
There is a guy who tells you. There's a hint in the game. That was how I found that one out.
But yeah, I mean, I remember thinking about, there's that portion of the Adventure of Link where you go down through the caves to Death Mountain, and then it's like this miniaturized version of the entire world map from the first one. And I remember thinking this when I was first had that pointed out to me, and thinking it again when I looked at it now. And I was just like, fuck you, game. Like, that is not... So your implication here is that this game is somehow bigger by... an order of magnitude scale, the other one, but I am not blind to this trick that you played at me, where you made the world bigger by making the world have nothing but bullshit in it, and it's huge. Like, oh, really? This one square of Dragon Warrior trees where I can go and pick up a bag of experience, that's meant to represent, like, 40 screens of a Zelda map where I could explore and kill dudes and find secret passages and shit. Oh, cool. Good trick. This is a really big world. You're awesome.
You know who also wasn't fooled by that trick? Lost Cal Poly dude.
Oh. Yeah.
Way too smart to be fooled by tricks like that.
No, I know. I mean, he's looking for the mirror that will take him back to Cal Poly.
Exactly.
Technic.
Yeah.
Is that some sort of cow... university?
Yes, cow poly.
Yeah.
A cow poly is like when there's a growth inside a cow's intestine.
Ew.
Yeah.
Did you?
You can tell.
Did you see that article about the cow magnet?
That was yeah. Posted in, that was in weird
today. No, I saw somebody talking about it. What is that? What was that?
Apparently, cows will ingest like bits of barbed wire and other like little metal detritus or whatever, and they're sharp and they will cause like severe internal problems if they're just left to their own devices. And so what they do is when cows are still calves, they will feed them a magnet, and it's too large to make it through their like fourth stomach or whatever. So it just sits in there and it just collects all the metal objects that are, you know, magnetic or whatever, and the cow will live with that inside it forever. Well, not forever. We'll live with that inside it until it is, you know, slaughtered or dies of natural causes or whatever. But those don't cause the same problem.
Apparently, I hate to be the guy that tells you there's no tooth fairy, but I imagine that the overwhelming majority of cows that have ever lived have not died of natural causes, Kevin. They have in fact been slain by us so that we could eat their flesh.
We're a natural cause, I think. I'm talking about aliens when I say
really. You think causes. Like industrialized predation counts as natural causes?
Sure.
So would you argue that several million Jews during World War II died of natural causes,
dude,
because they were
whoa?
I whoa. Well, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm pointing out the holes in your argument by making a horrible statement about the Holocaust. Oh man, every game of FTL, I am in the USS Indefensible.
I cannot think of it off the top of my head, but I wrote down what you renamed that ship to so that I could start naming
something
my ships that.
Magnum. It's too long.
Oh, is it?
The man... Oh.
Mancubus.
The sexy Mancubus Justin Miller.
That's it.
Yeah. So it would have to be the SMJM. The USS SMJM. LOL. No, I don't think that it is fair to say that a cow who is killed by a machine built by humans dies of natural causes. This is what I'm saying. My Holocaust joke was just to point out the absurdity in your thing that you said about a cow.
Is the machine made out of metal that came out of the ground?
No, it came out of other cows. It came out of the other cows that they killed.
Oh, well, that's plainly
what if
not
they swallow
magical.
Shit that's not ferrous?
I thought you were going to say fairies.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, what happens when there's like some awesome.
Obviously, it's not magical if. Obviously, it's not natural if magical creatures are involved.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, this apparently cures hardware disease in cows.
Hardware disease. Huh?
That's what it's called, apparently. I don't know. You know who told me this story? Discrater. And while I generally hold that to be a pretty upright dude, or assuming dude, I don't know. Discrater. I don't know.
Person told you this story, and you don't even know what gender they are because you actually made up how this person told you this story.
Yeah, I'm telling tales out of school.
Out of cow poly.
Out of cow school.
Out of cow school. Yep.
Oh man, look at what time it is. Do you have anything else to say, or should we tell the people how to talk to us?
I don't have anything else to say. People can find out how to talk to us.
Kevin, how do people talk to us?
Well,
you know they want to after this.
Did we tell them that we're going to play Zelda for another week?
Oh, yeah. The next week's assignment is still more Zelda because we want to beat it.
Yeah. Beat it all. So you can tweet us at VGHotDog. You could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. You can check out our forums and other goodies, which are available at videogameshotdog.com. And you can also do us a solid and write a review on iTunes, good or bad, happy or angry.
Give us some stars.
Give us some stars.
Yeah, I was exactly. Looking at the new iTunes stuff, the new podcast stuff on the iOS 6, and it is fucking incomprehensible.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I think I looked at a top 300 list, and we weren't on it.
Oh, wow, 300?
And it made me want to weep. It made me want to weep and cry. It was the games and hobbies, not just video games. So it's hard to... Also, you can't just look at video games podcasts in the new podcast app.
Huh.
fascists.
Yeah, that's rough.
I know. Yeah. Start using third party. Get some fucking Linux. Get some Linux up in this piece and use that to make your coffee shop go out of business. I don't even, they don't, you think your customers care about your distro? They want, all they want is some bagels. And you don't have bagels. You go in there and you're like, hey, can I have a bagel? And they're like, no, we got some fucking cookies and shit. Like,
if you want a bagel, you're going to have to write your own drivers.
That's what he said. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll drink coffee anyway, because this is the only coffee shop. Wasn't the only coffee shop. There's another coffee shop that has gross bagels.
Oh.
And not like gross in the German bagel sense, where they're just really big. Like,
gross a bagel.
Yeah. All did right, just, guys.
Did German well, with a Japanese accent riff?
It was not a very good German accent.
Okay. Hmm.
Good job. We're going to teach you all about the nations of the world.
Yeah.
Next time on videogameshotdog.com.
Have a great week.
Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.
Somewhere in the universe right now, there's a wormhole opening up that leads into this room, which also has a version of Emily Dickinson in it.
Hmm.
Maybe she's slightly more confident, so she never wrote any poems.
She does podcasting instead.
No, she just sits around talking into weird tubes that appear.
Oh, so totally unlike podcasting.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's a good point. A boop, a boop, a boop.